This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts, live from Farmer City, Illinois, in the mad rush out of Washington, D.C. This is the first place that I've been able to stop and do a podcast, so we're going to do one. This is podcast 384. I'm almost home, so I decided what I'd do for this podcast is just do some final thoughts from the road. Lots of stuff running through my mind in podcast 384. And to kick it off, in terms of a lot of discussion, in this trip about technology and the limits of technology, it's also important to remember the good things that were done on the trip. And so I'm going to start out with one of the production ex-government car commercials that I made for my friend Ed Johnson at ex-government cars from the beach. Because one of the big challenges of this trip was to see if we could do production quality, studio quality production on the road, both in terms of commercials as well as interviews, like I did with Tom Emmer in Washington, D.C. So it was a pretty cool trip on that. Lots of challenges and a lot of tough days on this particular trip, different from the trip out west earlier in the spring. But so we're going to kick it off with the ex-government car spot. ExGovernmentCars.com now carries trucks. That's right, they now carry a full line of trucks and SUVs. ExGovernmentCars.com is the only dealer that carries one-owner government fleet vehicles, always professionally maintained. You never know what you're getting at the other dealers. ExGovernmentCars.com has easy car loans for everyone at all credit levels, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Everyone's approved. Apply online safely and securely 24/7 at ExGovernmentCars.com. Get your butt down to ExGovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Get your butt down to ExGovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
So let me break down this trip. As I sit here in the parking lot of the, I think it's Olin's Diner in Farmer City, Illinois, right on, I think I'm on 74 and then 140-something. I don't know. All of it blends together for me at this point. But this trip, to break it down, started out in Minnesota, went down to Iowa, across Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. I stopped to see my best friend in a farm community out in southern Illinois, and then jumped on 41, drove all the way down to 74, and then on down into the Mid-South, Kentucky, Tennessee, then out to Virginia and to visit my family, and then on Virginia's Atlantic coast, the Outer Banks, Virginia Beach, the Naval Base at Norfolk, Delmarva Peninsula, Ocean City, Maryland, even Delaware, a tiny little part of Delaware north of Ocean City called Bethany Beach, Maryland's Eastern Shore, the quest for yoga and Wi-Fi for uploads, especially uploads in Salisbury, Maryland's Eastern, Easton, Maryland, Rock Hill, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and all that it entailed, and then a mad rush to get out of there. After I did the interview with Tom, it was the traffic. I mean, I spent all day parallel parking this beast and, driving all over Washington traffic, and when it was over, I thought, boy, it's a good thing I didn't really plan to do any other interviews because it was all I could do just to get out of there. So then once I got out of Washington, I just headed west, and I stopped briefly in Western Maryland, Cumberland, Maryland, which, by the way, used to be one of America's largest cities, then on into Pennsylvania, West Virginia, on 70, and then across Ohio and Indiana, finally coming to central Illinois on my way back to Iowa and Minnesota this evening. And as I said, sitting here in Farmer City, Illinois, right by the highway, doing a podcast now. I'm going to upload this later when I find someplace that's fast enough. I haven't even bothered to try to go online today. This quest to find Wi-Fi, stopping at every McDonald's along the way, is just killing me. So I don't even know what's going on in the news, and I don't care. So I'm doing this podcast now. As I said, I'm going to upload it later, pulling out the studio microphone one more time, sitting here just across the street from a little truck stop along the highway in central Illinois, kind of near Peoria. Travel east is different from travel west. When you travel west, it's just a different feeling. And I personally love to travel west. I've done a lot of travel in the east throughout my life, and I think traveling out west is really an experience. I don't know how to explain it. The light is different. The sights are different. The distances are different. When you travel through the East, it's just a different experience. It's not a negative experience. It's just a different experience. And it was great to see friends and family. And as I said, prove that we can use the mobile unit to do studio quality production, even in a place that's as challenging as Washington, D.C., or a 90-degree day on the beach on the Outer Bank in Virginia. However, the untethering experiment proves to be quite a challenge in this day and age. The technology exists, it's there, but local communities haven't quite yet connected to this. I liken it to the time when the best radio stations were in the big cities, and the worst radio stations were even in smaller towns. It was hard to find good radio, even in places like Kansas City. So, I would connect it to my experience traveling with my family across the country back in the day, mostly through these parts that we're in at this very moment, the Midwest and the Southeast. And at that time, we had an incomplete interstate system. If you were a person similar in age to me and you did any travel, you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, that was the peak of industrial society back then. And we were just building the interstate system, which was really new tech. We're still in the early morning hours of the dawn of a new society based on this new technology. The internet, connectivity, smartphones, better computers, mobile connectivity, mobile technology for whatever business you're in. It's kind of funny because I talk a lot about high tech, and most of the technology I'm using is from 2004 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 10. I have a 4C iPhone. I have an older MacBook Pro. I'm using a relatively old digital mixer and microphones that were designed probably in the early 60s. They're just great mics, and driving a truck that is a 2000. So, you know, if I had really a cutting edge technology, it would be a whole different thing. I mean, even my printer is like 7 years old, so that I have in the truck with me. But it's coming, and it's great to be on the cutting edge of that experience and looking forward to seeing that come. So when I was thinking about this, I thought, well, I'll just go on and do this open-minded. But I've actually made some notes, and the reason is perceptions, you know, all kinds of different perceptions, traveling and dreams that you have and the travel and all these things that happen, and some of them are worthy of putting on a Last Thought podcast, and some of them aren't. But I will say as an overall statement that I absolutely love and have great passion for getting out and traveling. This machine that I'm in, obviously the diesel's not running. We're just on battery power right now because I'm exhausted. And the creature comforts, I need to do some work on creature comforts. And Steve Steiner, if you're listening, you tried to explain that to me. But you don't have ears to hear it all the time. And there are some things that I need to do that would make this a lot easier. For one thing, I got to get some screens. So when I open the doors up, if I'm camping, or I'm going to have to bring my tent, I don't know what. But there's some things that I can do to make life on the road a little easier, because this is not an RV, and that's probably the first thing. But the main thing is, even if it's something like this, which is really designed to be an ambulance and now an audio truck, it's not really designed to be living in it. It's great to get out and travel. You see things, you make mental connections and personal connections, and you talk to people you wouldn't normally talk to. Just take your old friends and family. If you don't travel, if you don't drive to them, then you're dependent on them coming to you, and you know they don't always do that. So it's great to be able to check in with people more than once in a year, let's say. And then there are just things that I experiences that I've had that I just couldn't get on tape, let's say. The trucker, Mark, with the dog last night at the Waffle House, you know, he was off, basically parked his car at this, where was I? It was someplace in Indiana. And there was a cluster of about six truck stops. And so it was a little town of trucks and a tiny little Waffle House. And it was great. It was a really competent staff at the Waffle House. And the trucker was out back talking to the guys. And he had his dog with him in the restaurant. And he was telling me where to get my tires checked and all these. We were talking about different ways to get different places. And it was just great. The woman who said she was a socialist until she started a small business on the Delmarva Peninsula in Maryland. That was a great experience and talk. People at the Rock Hill RV park in a camp, really, in Delmarva Peninsula, at Rock Hill, Maryland. I pulled in there unannounced late at night, and you know they took care of me the next day. It was great. Two young women and the father and the family, big farm, and they had turned a big section of the farm into this campground. There must have been 50 or 60 RVs parked there, people summering there. The weathered guy in Ocean City who ran up to the vehicle in a traffic jam and stuck his head in my window because I had my windows down because I don't want to run the air conditioning and run out all the diesel fuel, and said, "What's a podcast?" And I said, I explained it to him. He goes, "Well, I don't have a computer." And that happened out west, too. It happens all over the place. They see the van. They read the van. They want to know what the podcast is. Or you see people coming up next to you. And as soon as they pull up next to you, they whip out the smartphone and they look up the URL. It's amazing. Through it all, I've spent a lot of time on this trip on back roads, two lanes and four lanes and dirt. And I've spent a lot of time in single states like Virginia and Maryland traveling to different parts of the state. It's a huge country. And you know this. We have heard that it's a huge country our whole life. But when you're traveling like this, you really see it and understand it when you travel. Just Maryland, for instance, you on the far western part of the state is Cumberland, which used to be the largest, one of the largest cities in the United States, if not the largest. I think it was comparable to New York back in the day, at the time of, you know, the canal time. And, you know, it's a really interesting place. I've talked about it a couple of times, but it's way on the western side of the state, and you go all the way over to the eastern side of the state, and you're on the eastern shore. So each state is gigantic. We have 50 individual countries in the states, really, in this country, the states, really, and they are individual even still. You hear a lot about homogenization in this country, but every single state has a personality. Every single state has different types of roads. Every single state is unique in some way, shape, or form, and people are individuals. All of them had different settlers and settlement times, different conditions, even today. Obviously, in the American Southwest, there's a lot more Latino populations than there are in the eastern part of the United States. Different conditions, different weather, different produce different plants. There are all kinds of contradictions across this country everywhere. One of them, just one of them, in the midst of the most dense population center in the United States, and I mentioned this, the East Coast. So we're talking about Washington, D.C., on up to Philadelphia and New Jersey and New York City. This is the most populated metropolitan mass in the middle in the United States, going from Boston all the way down to Atlanta. We're talking about 30 million people just on the east and the southeast seaboard in the United States. And you're out on the eastern shore struggling to find a cell signal, a Wi-Fi that works, a yoga studio, even a decent restaurant. And it's just seeing incredible farms that have been there for 200-300 years, literally. Now, this is also true in Massachusetts and New York State, which are breathtaking once you get out of the metropolitan areas of Boston, New York, and you're like, oh, my God, this is truly a rural agricultural state. New York is one of the biggest agricultural states in the United States. So is New Jersey. And people just don't believe that when you tell them that. Yet each one of these states, rural and urban, is highly developed, even wealthy, with people doing all sorts of things. People driving new trucks, new businesses, successful businesses, not so successful businesses. And yes, there are places in these places that are run down, trailer parks, weather-beaten farms, Indian reservations, ghettos in the big cities, driving in through Northeast Washington. But on the whole, traveling across the country in all these different places, I am not seeing a country on the edge economically. I am not seeing a country on the edge socially. I am seeing a lot of people who are busy running to and from, making calls and sending emails in their cars, or working from a local diner on their way to work, or on some work location or site, or driving some truck someplace. And I'm not just talking about the truckers. I'm talking about the business people out doing things, from window glazers to dog groomers to all sorts of stuff. Truckers on the highways and in the truck stops, to warehousing in the Midwest, steel mills in Indiana and Tennessee and Kentucky, car factories, all the way to these sleek office centers around the beltways of every single major city, like Minneapolis and St. Paul or St. Louis or Indianapolis, which seem similar but are very different in many, many ways. And yes, of all of them, Washington, D.C. is literally overdeveloped. It's exploding as the government explodes. And we all have issues with that. But when you go there and you see it, it's amazing. And every state is verdant and fertile, including the states out west that I went through, California and Wyoming and places like that. On this trip, I drove through a lot of small agriculture-based towns like this one, Farmer City, Illinois. And I got to tell you, the oftentimes, if you're driving on two-lane highways, you're going to see all sorts of farm machinery and implements and farms that are verdant and fertile and moving. These truck stops across the country on the interstates, and one of the things, I mean, I felt like I was spending a lot of time in Maryland, and so last night when I hauled ass out of there and got out on the interstate, you start stopping at truck stops, and I am a night driver. I drive all night most of the time, and most of the day in this case, and these truck stops are chock full with trucks. And we're talking three or four abreast in the service bays and RVs 24 hours a day. The truck stops are busier at 3 in the morning than 2 in the afternoon. And it's kind of cool because it's like airports. You're seeing these huge freight trains traveling across the country and busy cities everywhere. I was so happy to go through Indianapolis at 2 o'clock in the morning just because it's easier to get through these major cities in the middle of the night. I speak to a lot of groups that spend a lot of time convincing people that this country is in decline, that, you know, all of these things have caused God to turn away, and that we're decaying and declining, that the roads are crumbling, that the cities are crumbling. I hear a lot of pundits decrying our culture, our young adults, our teenagers, their work ethic, our older generations. I see a lot of writers writing and speakers speaking in code, saying that America's prayers will never be answered again, and that the country has been changed forever, and that it and we are forever broken. But I just don't see it out here. You hear these trucks, all of them full, heading from this highway to that highway. You see these diners, which are full of people eating. You stop at really nice restaurants that are chock full. You should have seen the Ocean City area when in full bloom, trying to get some sleep with a band playing until 1 o'clock in the morning in an outdoor bar across the road, and another one over there and another one over here. You know, and the thing is, change is constant in any society. There was a time when these roads were two lanes. and sometimes gravel for miles. There was a time when the 1957 Cadillac was the car to have, or the Roadmaster. It was called Roadmaster for a reason, because it had a big V8 and AC, and it rode easily on these complicated, you know, not very well maintained, literally gravel and dirt roads. So if you were a traveling salesman, that was the car to have. And yet, those people thought it was pretty great. My grandfather was a traveling salesman in the 20s and 30s and, you know, remembers driving in the rain with rain curtains on his car to sell crackers to these small stores. And there was a time not too long ago when there was no electricity out here, even a place like Farmer City, which is in, you know, relatively close proximity to Peoria or to Chicago. There was no electricity. And we're talking just three or four generations ago, before World War II, you had people out here still plowing behind a horse or oxen and planted by hand and harvested. Or you had the Model A version of trucks delivering about all they could get on the pallet behind the little driver's compartment on dirt roads. So when you needed something, you had to send off an order form to the Sears and Roebuck's company, and that was where you had to go. There was no Walmart. There was no Lowe's. There was no Home Depot. You know, everything was done by catalog. Or when people who had farmed as sharecroppers for years down south rented land and moved to places like St. Louis or Chicago for a better life and a paycheck in a place called a factory, and were happy to have that work. Every single one of these times, and there are too many in the 260 or 240 years of history in the United States as a country, every single one of these times was fraught with danger, and there were people who said, this is the end of the country. And maybe it was, and I guess it was at a certain time the end of the country. When cities developed west of Cumberland, Maryland, and people moved on, when Daniel Boone left Tennessee and moved on out to Texas, you know, and Davy Crockett left and moved on out to Texas from Tennessee, you know, people said, this is the end of the country. And I guess it was for them, but it's not the end of the country. And when people are out there talking about the end of the country, I have to tell you, I don't see it out here. For one thing, I've traveled these roads most of my life, and it still looks very similar in a lot of ways. I see a lot of people, some happy, some not, some healthy, some not. I see fat people at the truck stops, but then I see some slim people, too. I saw a lot of fat and healthy people at the beach. I saw people speaking English at the beach, and Italian, and Chinese, and Mexican. I see poor people, I see rich people, but mostly I see a lot of in-between people who are somehow able to afford the new truck, or the phone, or the nice houses just outside of town. The woman, as I mentioned, who retired from the post office, sold her veterinary practice and started a coffee stop, and in the process realized she'd become a capitalist. And that was the one that said, you know, which way do you lean? And I said, what does it matter? What does it matter now, Senator? And she said, well, I'm becoming a capitalist. I used to be a socialist. I mean, this is America. This is the way these people are and the way we are. Or the guy, the trucker last night that was talking to me, you know, I grew up in California. It's the most beautiful state in the world, but they're crazy these days. And I live in Nevada. Or the crazy guy with the old ambulance driving around the country doing podcasts. Oh, wait, that's me. And I, you know, I can speak with authority on this because I have seen everything from wealthy neighborhoods in Bel Air and West Los Angeles to poverty on these Indian reservations in Arizona and New Mexico, and the abandoned gas stations and the decaying buildings in Texas, which has the fastest economic growth in the country, but where they move the highway or move the exits, there's decay. Now, if you just looked at that, you would say, oh, this country is falling apart, but you have to have a perspective, and the way you get it is to travel. We are still a vibrant, hardworking, and great people. We are still creative. We are still innovative, and we are still inventive, and we still aspire to greatness, and yet we still are great. And yes, there are challenges, and there are opportunities, but I have to tell you, as I travel the country, as I travel these roads, as I travel the country and go to these towns and talk to people, and I mean, these are just, you know, not always very deep conversations, but when you're sitting at the counter at the diner in some small town, you're going to talk to somebody. And you know, there's a lot of conversations, but they, you know, as I said, they're workaday conversations, but you still hear people talking about how their business has changed. You know, the guy in the diner tonight was this afternoon or whatever time it is, I guess this morning, was talking about his business and how it's run from, you know, some major city now, and they come in with their laptop computers and they tell you this, that, and the other thing. You know, these are the challenges that we have to deal with. But I am, for one, really tired of the complaining and the snark and the dire precautions of the end of the world and the country based on some report from somebody or what somebody said on some talk show because someone went crazy somewhere and shot some people or someone is representing black people and claimed to be black and isn't black or... You know, you name it. This country is crazy. If you want to understand how crazy people are, take some time and go find a book called The Wisconsin Death Trap. And thank you, Jill's mom, for giving me that book. I still have it, and I got to give it back to you guys. But this details the heinous crimes committed during the something like a 10 to 30-year period at the end of the 1890s in Wisconsin. And we're talking about, you know, axe murders, shootings and stranglings. And then there's Ed Gein. There's Bonnie and Clyde. There's the attack by Puerto Rican nationals on the Blair House that just occurred to me where they almost killed President Truman and on and on and on in the Cold War. And, you know, we didn't start the fire, right? What we need is somebody who can put their finger on the real problems that we have and make people understand what they are. Somebody who can free up and will dedicate themselves to freeing up individual Americans from the shackles of the rules and regulations so that the tools that I talk about a lot in these podcasts can be given to the individual, the guy in the diner who is complaining about, you know, the people from the big city coming down and running his business. Well, they're doing that because they have the tools. But someday he'll have the tools and they won't be necessary anymore. So if we can get the small business person those tools, it will transform this country. You know, we need help so that small business people can get loans from the local banks and can participate in and benefit from technology as well as these foreign trade agreements that are supposed to be so great. The local farmers and the big farmers and the local businessmen and the medium-sized businessmen as well as the big businesses need to be able to benefit from these agreements as well as state and federal legislation. And so we need leaders who are going to lead and who bring hope to everybody in this country rather than divide and conquer us through fear and envy and anxiety about what one person has and another, what one person's color is and another, what one person's heritage is and another. All of us at all levels need to be inspired, not stopped in our tracks by this negative, nasty chatter that's just based on nonsense. There's so much negativity, my brother, out here, you know, in that, because as I'm driving, I'm having telephone conversations with people, and so many of them are just negative because the TV is on all the time. And you know, it's like my nephew, the Lieutenant JG in the Navy, said about the base. You know, he's flying helicopters. He wanted to fly jets. He qualified for jets. But the Navy being the Navy, he's flying helicopters, and he's had to deal with that. But he said, first of all, I love the Navy. And he said, everybody has a job, and they all do it on this base. And sometimes we don't see it come together. Sometimes we don't feel that what we're doing is coming together. But then when you're looking at these ships, we were looking at the aircraft carriers that we're in and the cruisers and so forth. And he said, but when we send these huge ships out and run these systems and have missions and accomplish those missions, you see it all come together. And again, the quote was somewhere down the line, it all comes together. I think everybody should do this, travel. I think even if you take a week and you go to Sturgis, if you take a week and you go up to northern Michigan, if you take a week and drive out west or 2 weeks and drive out west or 3 or 4 weeks, come to the Delmarva Peninsula in Maryland. It's beautiful. Go to Wyoming. It's beautiful. Go to Colorado. It's mind-shatteringly beautiful. Northern Minnesota is amazing. Wisconsin is amazing. And every place is America, but every place is different. And I think people should get off the main roads and see the places like Farmer City and Ocean City and Indianapolis and Chicago. And yes, even Washington, D.C., I'm left with, and believe me, this has not been an easy trip. This is not, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I don't. My throat hurts. My body hurts. I've been sleeping on a cot for 15 days in the back of this truck. But I am really up in the crown energy. I mean, I'm very, very optimistic. And as I see all this stuff going on, I still believe this is a great country and it has a lot of future left in it. So let's live in the future instead of worrying about the present and worrying and complaining and whining about the past. So thanks once again to xgovernmentcars.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Here's the other. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to play the other commercial that that I did for Ed at the beach in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Here it is. I was talking with Ed Johnson, owner over at xgovernmentcars.com, about his business the other day. I learned he really loves taking care of his customers. Ed offers a 3-day love-it guarantee at xgovernmentcars.com, friendly sales staff, and over 30 lenders to get everyone approved on their car loan. When you shop xgovernmentcars.com for your next vehicle, you can click online and apply for a car loan safely and securely and be pre-approved in minutes. xgovernmentcars.com carries the best government and fleet vehicles direct to you. You never know what you're going to get at other dealers. I think it's time for you to get your butt down to
xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com. Apply for financing at
xgovernmentcars.com.
Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs. xgovernmentcars.com. Well, I got to thank also the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com, Ken Madden, who is Mad K Studios. Ken shares my love of automotion, you know, automobilism and travel and going to different places. And he and I always tell each other stories about traveling with our families. And I think that's a big part. You know, one of the things my parents did was they made sure that we took day trips and went to Starved Rock because we lived in Chicago. So you could go, we went to Starved Rock and we went to the Locks and we went to Galena and saw the birthplace and where General Grant had his great failure as a businessman. And you know, all these different places that we would go in the region, the dunes. And Ken is from Massachusetts, and he always tells about where his family went. And my friend Steve Steiner talked about how his dad would load up the 60 Ford, and it was not a new car at the time, with everything under the sun. And they would jam into the 60 Ford and then the 69 Ford and head up to Canada. And they would drive up to Canada and camp, and he brought the skillet and the huge tent. And Ken Madden, I'm supposed to be talking about the digital sponsors, shares my love of the road and travel and seeing things because it gives you this great depth and understanding and balance, things that you can relate to, and even travel across the world. And by the way, I was going to mention it and I didn't. You know, I've toured rural China and been to Shanghai and Beijing and the areas around it. I've been to Europe. I've toured Europe, Italy, and France, which are highly developed countries, essentially states like the United States. So I'm not any neophyte when it comes to international travel. And I've been to Canada and Mexico. So I've seen different parts of the country. There is no country in the world like the United States. You know, people talk a lot about China and the statistics and the numbers behind China. But when you get out into these areas, these people are living in shacks or they're living in huts or they're living in you know, literally plastic towers where they're working for these giant companies or dorms. You get out in the country in America and you see houses up on hills above the highways and you travel into small towns and everybody has a house and everybody has a car and everybody has a TV and everybody has a telephone and everybody has a smartphone and there are paved roads and restaurants and places to go and gyms and entertainment centers and theaters. It is highly developed and sophisticated. And nothing else in the world is like it, no matter how developed Japan is, no matter how developed China is in the present time frame. This country is huge and amazing and incredible. And so when you tour and you travel, Ken, I know you're listening to this, you understand that depth. Well, what does Ken do? Ken does something really cool. He does, you talk about people being aced out of their jobs through technology. Ken's a designer, and he does great automotive artwork, and they're going to be out at the antique shows this summer, the big Back to the 50s things at the State Fair, which I think is the 19th. I don't know if I'm going to make it back. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll try to come over there, but I think you have to call them first, and I don't want to get into a big thing, especially after Washington. But he does great stuff. And if you have a favorite car, a story from your youth when you traveled with your parents, Ken can draw it for you. He can make a painting out of it, and you can hang it on your wall. It's not the same as a picture of your favorite, you know, 1967 GTO. It's the 67 GTO in front of your house with your dad standing there. You know, that's what's cool about it. So all you have to do is go to, you click on the ad at thebobdavispodcast.com. It takes you to Mad Case Studios, and, you know, you can see what he does. It's really great stuff. You click on the banners, by the way, for all of the sponsors, the Bob Davis Podcasts, at thebobdavispodcast.com, and that will take you to them, and you can find out more about what they all do. Thank you guys for donating. I got a couple donations just in the last 24 hours. Really appreciate that. Went right into the vehicle, so thank you. Stitcher.com is a great service if you have an Android device for being able to get the Bob Davis Podcast. Of course, the granddaddy of podcasting, iTunes, which is great for any iPhone or really any system. But if you have an Android, Stitcher works really well. Or TuneIn works well. And BlogTalkRadio.com. There's two players on the page. One is blogtalkradio.com and one is TuneIn. I'm not sure if those players are slowing down the BobDavisPodcast.com delivery, depending on what kind of web browser you're using. I may take them down. I'm not sure yet. But you can listen to the podcast on those players or on the page, because under each podcast as a player, you can listen to it there. So thanks for the donations. If you want to make a donation or contribute to the Bob Davis Podcasts, all you have to do is click on the big yellow donate button. It's PayPal. It's safe and it's secure. Thank you, Elon Musk. It's the only real thing that you've done. and Peter Thiel, great. So anyway, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, and the rest of the people that did PayPal, we love you. That's a key factor in untethering, as well as Bitcoin, which I don't have anything to do with, but I thought I'd throw that in. Click on the yellow donate button and you can donate, and I really, really appreciate your donations and contributions and emails and comments at thebobdavispodcast.com. So I'm going to get back out on the road, and you will have a great Friday, I'm sure. Thanks for listening to Podcast 384, Final Thoughts from the Road, thebobdavispodcast.com. Should I just sigh? Should I give the long, weary traveler sigh? No, I think I'll just go.
Let's get this show on the road!
Where things go, you get so low. Struggle to find your skin. Oh, hey ho, look out below. Still